Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner is Jesse Romero. We are the squad that makes up Jesus 911 Tuesdays and Thursdays.
That's right.
Jesse, hey, today's an important day. Feast of the Archangels, but it's the presidential debate. So I think it's appropriate we start with the prayer that Archbishop Vigano wrote for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hit it.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Almighty and eternal God, King of kings and Lord of lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us so that they may commit themselves to the common good and respect for your holy law. Protect those who, in defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments, must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in the hearts of your children courage for the truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example that our Lord has given us, together with his most holy mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which they have been blessed. Give courage to those who in spiritual combat fight the good fight as soldiers of Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, so that aware of his responsibility and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praise rises to you, O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son,
Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, today's the feast day of the three archangels in the Catholic Church. And let me just mention, just on this date, the Catholic Church remembers the three archangels mentioned in Scripture by name, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Michael, whose name literally means who can compare to God or who's like unto God. Mm-hmm. That's what Mikael means. Michael manifests God's power and might, and he battles Satan, the huge dragon, the ancient serpent. You see that in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, where he actually cast him from heaven. And Michael also guards the hearts of the people of God in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Yeah. And he defends the souls of the just and bears them to their final judgment. And in 1886, Pope Leo XIII composed a prayer to St. Michael, which was said at the end of Holy Mass for many years.
That's right.
St. Gabriel, he's the bearer of good news, the archangel that bears good news, good tidings. You see that in the Gospel of Luke. And St. Raphael, he's the archangel of healing. He's also the archangel of travelers and the archangel of marriages. And you could see all that in the book of Tobit, which is not found in the Protestant canon of Scripture.
That's right. And you ever get a fishbone stuck in your throat, you pray to him.
You know. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, Ruben, well, this is election season. And right now, obviously, we're down to the wire the last couple of weeks. And there's an article here that says that Biden is weak with black and Latino men, which is creating an opening for Trump.
Yeah. Just in my going about at these Trump rallies, I'm seeing a lot of people of color at these rallies. It's really positive. It's good to see. It's uplifting.
I've never seen it before, Ruben.
I saw a group of homeboys. You know, a group of members or former gang members that were out there. They call themselves Cholos for Christ or Cholos for Trump. I'm sorry. So
I saw the same thing on YouTube, Ruben. A bunch of lowriders.
Yeah.
I mean, one car after another, and they all had Trump signs, and they all looked like guys that were on parole or something like that, or that were former gang members, but. These guys have, and they're screaming, we don't want socialism. We don't want to raise our taxes. We want to work. So, something's happening in the country, and I've never seen this type of energy amongst blacks and Latinos for any other candidate in my... I've never seen, you know, blacks for Reagan or blacks for Bush or Latinos for Bush or Latino. You even have right now organizations like Blexit, you know, blacks leaving the Democrat Party. You got Lexit, Latinos exiting the Democrat Party. I saw another organization called Jexit, Jews exiting the Democrat Party. So there's a lot of energy and passion right now. And the reason is because people know that what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a party that's no longer the party of John F. Kennedy or, you know, Robert F. Kennedy or, you know, Scoop Jackson or L. Smith. This is the party now of socialism. And socialism is just a code word for communism.
Right. That's right. And you know, because Biden has spent 47 years in Washington, and, you know, he was butting up right there along with those racist senators. Was it Byrd, the one that Hillary praised so much? He was a KKK senator.
He was the grand wizard of the KKK once upon a time, yeah.
So Biden has that same, you know, mentality, and he's just kind of tried to disguise it. But every once in a while, it comes out, you know, how racist he is. And
I mean, look, some of the commercials that he's made, Ruben, they're just over the top. He says... If you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah.
What gives him the authority, the gall to say something like that? I mean, that is about as offensive as it gets. But let's go through some of the stuff here in this article.
Okay, let's go.
Some of the things here that the article says, the Democratic nominee needs to replicate Obama-era levels of support among voters of color in order to win, and he's not there yet. And it's referring to Joe Biden here, the former vice president. It says, it was a huddle to marshal the faithful, featuring dozens of black luminaries from hip-hop mogul Jay-Z to radio personality Charlamagne Tha God to civil rights attorney Ben Crump and vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris presided over the virtual meeting, which grappled with a nagging question for the Joe Biden campaign. How to woo more black men? So last week's call was a second in as many weeks focusing on Biden's appeal to black male voters, Crump said, was upbeat. But callers were frank about their concerns, urging Biden to deliver a positive message. It says, we know black women are the backbone of the party, but black men are going to have to overperform. And right now they're underperforming. According to a spate of recent polling, so are Latino men.
Because they're out there rioting. They're busy.
A subject Harris tackled recently in Zoom meetings with Hispanic influencers. Black and Latino men still need to be convinced that Biden represents their interests, Crump said. Crump, not Trump, that's Crump, C-R-U-M-P. Black men want to hear more about opportunities to build businesses and fixes for the economy. In addition to talk about criminal justice and policing reform, guess what? Everything they're looking for in Biden, Trump has already delivered. Next paragraph says, over the years, the Democrat Party has not always prioritized Latino men, which has left some disillusioned about politics altogether, Democrats said. Some Hispanic men with roots in Latin America countries have a long history of strongmen leaders are drawn to Donald Trump's braggadocio, particularly in Florida. And Democrats told Politico, and some young black or Latino men could protest by voting third party or simply sit out the election. A few holdouts among that population in battleground states like Arizona and Michigan could determine the election. Ruben, speaking about third parties, yesterday I had a debate against a Hispanic guy on. It was a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. But he's from Los Angeles. I think he went to 7 years of St. John's Seminary, and he dropped out right before he was about to get ordained. And he's a Catholic speaker out there in the Diocese of Los Angeles. So we debated last night in Spanish on the issue because he's conservative. He's Orthodox in his teachings and his beliefs about the Catholic faith. He's a practicing Catholic. But he says, I definitely can't vote for Joe Biden and, you know, for all the culture of death positions that he takes. But again, he's a never Trumper as well. So he's ginning up the Hispanics through social media, through podcasting, that we can't vote for Trump. We got to go vote for a third party. And the third party that he's talking about is the American Solidarity Party. So that I debated him last night for about an hour. Wow. It's on social media. It's in Spanish. His name's Christian Huerta. And I just told him, essentially, I said, you're throwing your vote away, Christian.
Right.
I said, because you and me are on the same on the same team, Team Jesus, and we believe in all the pro-life issues that President Trump promotes, by the way. But because you don't like the way he talks and you don't like his personality or the fact that he's on his third marriage, I said, you're going to throw your vote away and basically your vote for a third party. I said, in 244 years, a third party has never won in this country. It's a throwaway vote. What you're doing, Christopher, I said, you're trying to make yourself feel good because, oh, I'm holding to my moral conscience. I don't want to vote for him. I'm a never Trumper. I said, that's called psychological masturbation. What that means is that you're doing something that makes you feel good, but there's no life. It's a sterile act that you're doing. It helps nobody, and especially doesn't help the Catholic Church.
Wow. That was a low, not a low blow, but that was right to the kidneys right there, Jesse. Yes. He probably doubled over, dude, when you hit him in the kidneys with that left hook, man.
He started humming with that.
Oh, man.
And I said it in Spanish, you know, it was a Spanish debate.
Wow, that's good stuff, man.
Masturbación psicológico. You're listening to Jesus 911, two-man car, Ruben and Jess, and we're talking about the fact that Joe Biden is not exciting Latino or black men at all. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. We'll be back.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are the DOJ, Disciples of Jesus, and we work with the DEA as well, denounce every abomination. So,
amen. Ruben, so we're talking about Biden's weakness with black and Latino men, and it creates an opening for President Trump. But again, I was mentioning to you that yesterday I had a debate in Spanish against a podcaster very well known out there in Los Angeles. Name's Christian Huerta. He was going to be a priest. I think he studied for 7 years in the seminary. He dropped out his last year, and he felt that God was calling him to be a single consecrated lay guy. Mm-hmm. He's well-formed. He knows his faith. He's Orthodox. But he's trying to pull a lot of people, Hispanics, through podcasting through interviews to vote for the third party called the American Solidarity Party. And I told him yesterday, I said, the problem with you and people like you, you guys are purists. In other words, you're looking for the perfect candidate. Oh, he's on his third marriage. Oh, you know, he's had some bankruptcies before. So you discredit the most pro-life, pro-Catholic president in the country because he doesn't. Again, that's a pharisaical way of looking. You're a purist. He's not perfect. Well, I said, well, nobody's perfect. And I said, if I would take a picture of your life and my life, I said both of us would fall short just as well. But I think the main things that I try to tell him, and I think I did make some inroads with him. And again, he does have some influence, apparently. I just told him that no third-party candidate has ever won for president or even close, mm-hmm. even close for that matter. And we've been around for 244 yeah. years.
Did you call him out or did you
set it up? He did. Oh. No, he did. He looked at me. He found out about my book and he said, hey, a lot of people said that I should debate you. I read your book, and he says, good arguments, but I still think that a Catholic shouldn't vote for Trump. We should go for the American Solidarity Party. It's got, it's a conservative party when you look at it. It's the American Solidarity Party. Mm. It looks like basically a Catholic, a New Testament template when you look at their party platform. But I just told him that the fact is, it's easier to build the majority within a single party than to win over the whole country with some unknown party. It's never happened before. I said, you're living in fantasy land you're a third party purist. It's just not tenable. And I told him, I'll tell you why, Christopher, it's not tenable. Because I said, I went to the American Solidarity Party's website. Mm-hmm. You guys are only on 8 ballots. You guys are only in 8 ballots in 8 states.
Oh, wow.
So it makes it, you guys are not even registered in 42 states, Christopher. So I said, it makes it impossible for you to win.
Wow.
You can't win with only being on 8 states. I said, once again, what you're doing, with all due respect, I'm not insulting you. It's just a description. It's psychological masturbation. It's an exercise. You're voting to make yourself feel good, but you're not helping out the cause of Christ. You're not helping out the culture of life. And I said, and also, you have kind of a Luther spirit to you. And he didn't like that, but I said, let me explain. I said, Martin Luther, the apostate Augustinian priest, he wanted to reform the church. So how did he do it? He basically left the church, went across the street, and started a parallel church called the Lutherans in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I said, a true reformer like St. Teresa of Avila, like St. John of the Cross, like St. Francis of Assisi, guess how they reformed the church? From within. They stay here with the Holy Mother Church and fight within. I said, you're trying to influence Catholics by becoming a part of a fringe group. I said, you're not going to influence the Republican Party because we only have 2 choices in America in all 50 states. You're not going to influence for them to be more conservative or more Christian in their principles by going out and jumping into this, you know, bizarre third party. So I said, again, you're like Luther. You can't affect change in the Republican Party in conservative thought by schism or heresy or apostasy. So I just want to share that with the audience.
You know,
my take on third parties, Ruben. They're just not tenable.
It's true. And I was before you said that Luther spirit, I was already thinking, you know, it sounds like pride, you know, that they're, it's kind of discouraging because Catholics and Christians, all people of goodwill, should come together for this president because of what he's doing for religious freedom and for pro-life. And I heard the other day, and this kind of it's along the same lines. You know, you're looking for the perfect candidate. Well, even with the you've got some trads that are knocking the president's choice for the Supreme Court.
I know.
Tony Barrett, because she's a charismatic Catholic,
yeah.
You know. So, are you kidding me? What's wrong with these guys, man? Come on. Have some charity. She's Catholic, for God's sake. Man.
So we've got
to come together as people of faith and get the right people in there. So anyway, this article goes on. It's saying Republicans are okay. I'm going to kind of move ahead a little bit. They're aggressively courting Black and Latino voters, outspending Democrats on social media outlets like Facebook. Last week, Trump campaign spent six figures on ads in urban radio markets featuring former NFL player Herschel Walker and Georgia State Democratic rep Vernon Jones. He's the one who spoke at the DNC. He's kind of flipped parties in a sense. And Herschel Walker is good. I like him. And one week after Biden picked Harris as his running mate, the campaign joined a joint Black and Latino community center in Philadelphia. They also opened a field office earlier this year in Milwaukee on Martin Luther King Drive, a first for a Republican presidential candidate. And now remember, that's where the George Floyd incident happened in. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's Wisconsin. That was Kenosha. Yeah.
Okay.
So Bernie Sanders, former Biden rival, told Politico in a recent interview, but I think there's a likelihood that if there that is done, turnout in the Latino community could be lower than we would like, and it could result in Biden losing some very key states. So they're really trying to win over these voters, and they're not making they don't have the headway that Hillary had.
That's right.
Way behind.
Ruben, they're so desperate. You got Democrat millionaires that are apparently paying the bail, and to the tunes of millions and millions of dollars, all these Democrat billionaires are ponying up their money to take people out of jail. To give them the ability to vote.
Yeah, that was Bloomberg from New York, right?
Yeah, he's not the only one. There was like another one yesterday I was watching on television from on another channel. He's another. There's several millionaires that are doing this right now that are bailing out crooks and thugs. And here's the embarrassing thing. They know how they're going to vote. Why is it that these blue-collar crooks and thugs in jail and prison that they want to bail out, Bloomberg and these other millionaires, they already know that they're going to vote for the Democrats.
Yeah, and they said they're not paying everybody's bill, just the minorities, the blacks and Hispanics.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just the black.
Yeah.
If you're a white crook, you're going to stay in jail.
Yeah. So
if you're a black or a Hispanic crook, we'll pay your bail so you can vote.
Well, that's illegal to do that. So they're looking into a possible investigation going on.
I hope so, Ruben, because that smells fishy to me.
Definitely. You can't, pay somebody off to go vote for a particular party. That's ridiculous. And, what I don't understand is that the left is always bashing, the rich, the elite, that, like if they're all from the Republican Party. But they have deeper pockets than the Republican Party. You got the Soros, you got Bloomberg, you got guys like that are, all those CEOs from those major companies are backing Biden, so. They have deep pockets, but you never hear them complain about the rich on their side of the aisle.
That's the fallacy where people are always saying that the Republicans are the party of the rich. You've heard that. I've heard that all my life.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just absolutely not true. That's just absolutely a false statement, and I can prove it to you real quick. I mean, let's just take a look at a dozen of the most rich people here in the U.S., okay? Mike Bloomberg, independent. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates, Democrat. Warren Buffett, Democrat. Oprah Winfrey, Democrat. George Soros, Democrat. Tim Gill, Democrat. Ted Turner, Democrat. David Rockefeller, Democrat. Larry Ellison, Democrat. The Walton family, Democrat. Donald Trump, Republican.
Yeah. See?
I mean, all you have to do is just do a Google search. And you'll see that the wealthiest people in this country are Democrat and support Democrat causes. And by the way, this whole lockdown, Ruben, it's to punish the small business owner, because those are the ones that put Trump in office. The forgotten man, the little guy, the guy that's just paying his bills from one month to another. trying to support his family. Small business voted for President Trump on the last election. Big business, Google, Yahoo, Raytheon, Boeing, they vote for the Democrats and they support the Democrats.
That's right. And those people are going to, they're going to show up at the ballot box too. I know it. They're so fed up with this lockdown and not being able to support their families. It's disgusting what's going on in Democratic run cities. They're locked down.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Florida's wide open. The whole state is wide open. So
I got all these emails in Texas of California and New York friends of mine saying, "I'm moving to Florida."
Yeah. So let's go on, man.
Go ahead.
You know, so we're going to go here with the holdouts. Part of the urgency comes from the mixed picture emerging in the public poll. In a recent Monmouth University poll found Biden at 67% support among Black, Latinos, and Asian voters. Far ahead of Trump, but below the usual Democratic consolidation of the voters of color. Hillary Clinton won the same demographics, 74-21% in 2016. There's a notable swath of voters who are holding back from Biden, Belcher said. Last week, the pollster shared data with members of Congress that demonstrated Biden's relative vulnerability among Black men, particularly younger ones. And Belcher did not discuss specifics of the data with political, but Belcher addressed another argument some Democrats are making, that Biden's strong support among white college-educated voters, along with a slight increase in support from non-college-educated and elderly white voters, could compensate for any weakness among voters of color in battleground states. And so Clinton lost Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin by less than 80,000 votes, and Florida by a little more than one percentage point. And according to the polls, Trump's behind on all those areas, like 10% in Wisconsin. I can't help but believe that riot in Kenosha has played a little part into it. But, you know, we'll see. I'm
Ruben, this is what they did 4 years ago. The same statistics that Trump was way behind in all these states and Hillary had it in the bag. We heard that 4 years ago. And I think, like you said, most people that get these phone calls and they're by polling agencies and stuff, who are you going to vote for? Most people don't want to respond.
Right.
Most people just say, you know what, I'm not going to vote, or I don't want to talk, and just hang up. Most of these people, Ruben, are going to vote for Donald J. Trump because they're sick and tired of being held hostage in their house, and they're sick and tired of being held, their cities being held hostage, and they know that the only person that's pro-police, that's running for president, is Donald J. Trump, not Joe Biden.
Yeah. I've talked to several white friends, and they said, you know, I'm not going to tell them who I'm going to vote for, because I'm going to be listed as a racist or called out, you know, and I don't want people to know that. I'll just show up at the polls. I think that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
Listen to Jesus 911. We'll be back. Switching gears. You're going to want to hear this next story.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are the LASD, Love and Sacrifice Daily, so that we can leave all sin destroyed. LASD. Jesse, we're switching gears. We're going to be going into an article that a very fine author that's written a book that this is kind of a they go over Paul Kenger's book and it's called the article is called The Marxist and Satanist Roots of the Current Crisis. So you want to start off? Okay, I think we've got a little feedback. When we get ready to take the United States, we will not take it under the label of socialism. We will take the United States under labels we have made very lovable. We will take it under liberalism, under progressivism, under democracy, but take it we will. Many Americans heard this quotation from Alexander Trachtenberg, Moscow's enforcer among American communists, with fear during the 50s. By the time that the Soviet Union dissolved in 1991, that fear that had become derision as the third decade of the 21st century begins, it looks prophetic. So perhaps the election of Donald Trump in 2016 delayed things, but the socialists have only accelerated their labors during his presidency. Far-left positions at the turn of the millennium have assumed the status of settled law. Topics that would have been routinely scorned 20 years ago are now being treated in serious social issues. Serious discourse has dissolved into cancel culture, wokeness, and mostly peaceful protests. Jess?
Easy for Americans to say, well, yeah, okay, I can see that. But this is nothing but a wolf in sheep's clothing. This is communism, just basically rewrapped or repackaged. The article says, in this atmosphere... the book is called The Devil and Karl Marx, Communism's Long March of Death, Deception, and Infiltration by Dr. Paul Kengor is valuable because he penetrates at the roots of the current crisis right now. His book examines the intersection between faith and Marxism, and it's an intersection that many Marxists will claim does not exist. Marxists have a profoundly, they proudly proclaim their atheism, since Karl Marx first put pen to paper back in the 1830s, he's the one that came out with that statement or that famous phrase, religion is the opiate of the masses. That's probably Karl Marx's most famous statement. And Dr. Paul Kenger says that atheism, however, is a religion. And he demonstrates this point. This fact is readily apparent. And by the way, when you wonder why your kid has left school and no longer believes in God and all this stuff, it's because of Marxist thought that has infiltrated our schools. And one of Marxist's positions is atheism. And you got these professors that are 20, 30, 40 years older than your kid. They got several degrees behind their name. They play intellectual gymnastics with your kid's mind. And by the time your kid gets his BA 4 years later, or 5 years later, he says, Mom, Dad, I don't want to go to Mass no more. I think believing in God is silly. I believe in science. Where did this come from? This comes from our Marxist education in colleges. Ruben?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think we had a little difficulty on the mic, so I missed some of what you had said. But did you talk about about his family, about Marx, is just to illustrate what
No, go ahead. Happened.
Marx, he wrote a poem when he was 19, this poem where it says that the pale maiden, thus heaven I forfeited, I know it full well, my soul once true to God is chosen for hell. And, you know, so he raised his kids with this
poison.
Kind of ideology. He would point his children down the path as well. Perhaps the most poignant passage in his book describes the effects of Marx on his six daughters. When their daughters hit the depths of despair, they had no God to turn to. Their mom and dad had taught them that God did not exist, that religion was false, and that it was the opium for the masses, like you said. Instead of smoking opium, they ingested poison. The last phrase, both figuratively and literally accurate, most of the Marx children died young. The two that survived past their father's death committed suicide. Wow, what does that tell you? You know, despair. That's
the fruits of atheism. The fruits of atheism are despair, are hopelessness. If there is no God, then you know what? Life is not worth living.
No.
You know, and if you come across some hard times, I mean, why should you stick it out? Why should you tough it out? Ruben, I have to just correct myself. Dr. Kanger is a professor at Grove City College. I said Hillsdale. Mm. Grove City College in Pennsylvania. And again, in this book that he wrote, I think he's provided a great contribution to the Catholic Church. He's entered into this Marxist occult worldview of Karl Marx, and he's given us insight of how evil this philosophical worldview is. In fact, you see from his six daughters, two of them committed suicide. Mm-hmm. This is what he promoted: despair, hopelessness, there is no God. It says here, spreading error. However, Karl Marx exits from the scene for about a quarter of the way through this 402-page book written by Dr. Kanger. And Dr. Paul Kanger describes how Lenin and Stalin wage war against religion and specifically Christianity.
Right.
In 1909, Lenin wrote, "We must know how to combat religion, and to do so, we must explain the source of faith and religion in a materialist way." That's what Marxists and atheists are. They're materialists. Their argument is, if you can't see it, don't believe it. So when we as Catholics pray, for example, we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of all things visible and invisible, or Marxists, because they're materialists, they'll say, no, if you can't see it, you should not believe it. And it's by the way, it's this philosophy of Karl Marx that Lenin and Stalin and Hitler, by the way, all of them were influenced mm-hmm. by his thought, and all of them were pulled away from their Christian faith by Marxist philosophy, which basically leads to Darwinian evolution.
Yeah, do you notice that date that when Lenin wrote that, 1909, that's just 8 years before Our Lady of Fatima appeared, and she warned us that Russia would spread her evil ways, you know, and they were not a political power back then. So she's telling us what was going to happen. And so he goes on to say, the article goes on to say, most of the book describes how communists fought this battle in Russia, Europe, and the United States. It was through a system in which Moscow issued the orders and communists worldwide followed them. The descriptions of unfortunate Christians who fell under the Kremlin political power are harrowing, detailed, and extremely distasteful. And you go back to what Bella Dodd said. She helped, 1,100 men enter the priesthood, and these were communists and Freemasons and things of that sort. So this was going on. People were infiltrating the church because they knew they had to get us from inside. You know, they wanted to destroy Christianity. They had to go after the big fish. They couldn't.
Yep.
Yeah. So the book also describes the battle between Catholicism and Marxism at the highest levels. The writings of Popes Pius IX, Leo XIII, Pius X, Pius XI, and Pius XII are well presented. The book also mentions the unfortunate Ostpolitik, a policy of dialogue with the communists that thrived under John XXIII and Paul VI. These topics are handled deftly with enough detail to inform but never become dreary. I'll just throw Dr. Taylor Marshall's book in there, give it a plug. If you haven't read Infiltration, Dr. Taylor Marshall goes over all these popes and what was going on at the time during this infiltration.
That's right. Outstanding book.
Yeah.
The book's best work comes from the end when Dr. Kanger describes how Marxism morphed from an economic philosophy to a cultural revolution responsible for so much of the social anarchy that we're seeing today. So they've basically upped their ante. They used to be, their big thing was economic, this economic struggle or this economic revolution. Now they've saw that, they've seen that that's failed. So now they're after social anarchy and sexual anarchy. That's the revolution that we're finding ourselves right now in 2020. Mm-hmm. The article says the transition begins with a series of character sketches of Marxist Satanists who came onto the intellectual scene in the early years of the 20th century. Here's the players, or here's the ones that continue to promote Marxism. Mm. Aleister Crowley, a Satanist from Europe.
Yep.
Walter Duranty, Harry Hay, and the Frankfurt School, that's from Germany. It then moves into feminism, specifically discussing Kate Millett, whose book Sexual Politics helped popularize the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s. And Dr. Kanger quotes Miss Millett's sister, who eventually reclaimed her family's Catholic faith. It was clear they desired nothing less than the utter destruction of Western society, she said. How would they do this? They would do so via the method laid out by the cultural Marxists, by the Frankfurt School, by the spirit of Antonio Gramsci, and the long march through generations of the culture. From media to revolution, they would invade every American institution. Everyone must be permeated with the revolution. We're talking about the Marxist and Satanist roots of our current crisis right now in America. Stick around. We'll continue talking about this. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up next.
Hands on Apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. Hey, Jesse, you know, I want to say a quick St. Michael prayer, the Feast of the Archangels today, and Michael, he's the policeman of heaven. And so for the debate.
Absolutely.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Father, Saint Michael, protect and protect our president tonight. And we ask our guardian angel to speak to his guardian angel to just light, to guard, to rule his mind tonight as he debates. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Reuben, atheism comes from Marxism. And I'll tell you, even the New Catechism says that the biggest problem that we're facing in the third millennium is atheism. Paragraph 2123. Atheism must therefore be regarded as one of the most serious problems of our time. Mm-hmm. And this comes from Karl Marx. And if you don't believe how bad atheism is, did you know that 60 to 90% of Christian kids, both Catholics and Protestants, lose their faith in college, according to several studies? Mm-hmm. This is a serious issue here.
That's right.
You know what I call Karl Marx's philosophy, Reuben? I call it the gospel of Satan.
Mm.
That's my description of it. It's the gospel of Satan.
Well, communism has wrecked national economies, enslaved, whole peoples, killed more than 100 million men and women. You know, what's not to like? A lot of these young Americans today are supporting communism. You know, you see these anarchists in the streets. Millennials prefer socialism to capitalism. And here's the it's from Paul Kinger's book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Communism. He's written several books. You might want to look him up. 25% have a positive view of Lenin. 1 in 4 Americans believe that George W. Bush killed more people than Joseph Stalin. And 69% of millennials would vote for a socialist for president. You know, they ought to know better. Communism is the most dangerous idea in world history, Kinger said, producing dire poverty, repression, and carnage wherever it's been tried. No wonder, because communism flatly denies morality, human nature, and basic facts. And when if you deny God, then anything goes. Why be good? Why live virtuous? It just doesn't matter,
Yeah, you're right, Reuben. If there is no God, then I think it was that famous Russian prisoner. He says if there is no God, then how did he say it? If there is no God, then basically anything goes. I'll find the quote right on the internet. Mm-hmm. But Fyodor Dostoevsky, if there is no God, then, hey, anything goes. In other words, there are no moral restraints. If there is no God who gave us what I would call the Ten Commandments, the eternal law, the ethical monotheism, then what's happening in the streets right now of our country, there's nothing wrong with that. Those are just people expressing their personal points of view, how they see fit, using a gun, a baseball bat, or their fist. And that's basically what happens if you take God out of the equation. You have anarchy, not patriarchy.
That's right. That's right. Sin is a revolt against the order established by God. Therefore, this revolt that we're seeing in the streets, it's against the Creator himself. The more this revolt becomes manifest, the greater is the sin. It was St. Thomas who said, it's a characteristic of pride to be unwilling to be subject to any superior, and especially to God. And for this reason, the Holy Doctor, he said, pride or love of self is the beginning of every evil. According to Scripture, pride is the beginning of the fall of all, is the beginning of all sin. And that was the sin of Lucifer. Jess, you know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Theologians commonly believe that the sin of Lucifer and the evil angels was one of pride. Indeed, having no physical body, they could not be carried away by concupiscence like we can. Therefore, their sin had to be one of spirit. And there's two passages in Scripture. The first one's from Isaiah. How have you fallen from the heavens, O morning star? That's referring to Lucifer. Son of the dawn, how are you cut down to the ground, and who moved down the nations? You said in your heart, I will scale the heavens above the stars of God. I will set up my throne. I will take my seat on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And the second one's from the prophet Jeremiah. Long ago you broke your yoke, you tore off your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. So you know, and this we see
that's communism right there. That just describes communism.
Right.
I will not serve. I will not serve patriarchy.
This is also going on in the LGBT community. They take pride in practicing the homosexual vice, and they proclaim it in the public streets and the squares of the world's leading cities. It's a sin of the spirit. And, you know, what do they call their parades? The gay pride parade, you know? Challenge of the law of God. They challenge it. It's a denial of reality as such, and an adhesion to a utopia and to a pathological fantasy. And that was Lucifer's, that was his motto, his pride, and a repetition of his desperate cry of revolt. I will not serve. We're seeing that in the streets. I don't, you know, they don't want
gay pride parades. Yeah. They could just call them gay Lucifer parades, because Lucifer synonymous with pride.
Absolutely.
Ruben, and I'll tell you how bad communism has affected our country. Again, in the last couple of years, it's kind of subsided a bit. But remember a few years ago, there was all these militant atheist professors that were on the rise. They were writing books.
Mm.
They were, you know, there was all these advertisements on the internet for them. They were getting, you know, jet-setted from one college to another. They were ridiculing and attacking the belief in God with a barrage of books. That's the fruits of communism, the infiltration in this country. What are some of the other fruits of communism's infiltration into the U.S.? Well, prayer's been kicked out of public schools. That happened in the 60s.
Yep.
What else? The Ten Commandments have been kicked out of public schools and out of public places. That's also as a result of the infiltration of communism. What else? Well, you got, you know, liberal college professors that smugly claim that God is dead. You've seen those two movies, God is Dead 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
That so many kids that I've talked to, they've seen that exactly play out in their life as a college kid in 4 years. They said that's just mainstream right there, where you have these professors that will argue with you and try to beat into your brain that there is no God. And you wonder why, you know, 60 to 90% of Christian kids lose their faith after 4 years of college. And then also, the devil uses in a very powerful way, again, this whole communist philosophy. He gets these pop celebrities, you know, to mock the idea of believing in God, and these, you know, late night, Saturday night comedians. And so a lot of people think it's fashionable, it's cool,
yeah,
not to believe in God, because look at all the actors and the celebrities and the way they mock God and mock religion, and all these late night hosts on, you know, the way they...
Bill Maher just did...
Exactly.
About, yeah. You're talking about him. He just he used the, you know, threw out an F-bomb about the Catholic Church, about her Amy Coney Barrett's beliefs, you know.
He said, "Oh, she's really Catholic. I mean, she's really, really Catholic." And then he inserted the F-bomb in between her description. Ruben, this is essentially, as Fulton Sheen says, atheism, it's a moral problem. It's not that an atheist can't believe in the existence of God by rational thought, mm-hmm, and by the evidence. It's that they don't want to believe in the existence of God. And I'll tell you why. Because Archbishop Sheen says that when you believe in God, this causes you to be bound by moral absolutes.
Right.
And people, they like their sin. They don't want to be bound by moral absolutes.
Yeah.
And also, Venerable Fulton Sheen says that in order to encounter God as well, humility is required. It's a requirement. It's a virtue that's necessary to encounter God and to assent your intellect and will to God. Without humility, it's impossible. And this is why I would say suicide's on the rise. Addiction to drugs and alcohol's on the rise. Why? Because all of human history, it's a long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God to make them happy, and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the church has always spoken out against it, against communism. You know, Kengor, he quotes, not quotes, but he lists all the popes that speak out against them, you know. And, you know, Pope Pius XII was right in the middle. He's our World War II pope, and he was speaking out against it. He even called for excommunication of anyone in the Communist Party. So, and there were some bishops that and priests that were kicked out of excommunicated during that time. This has no place. This has no place in the church. And unfortunately, a lot of that, what you see down there, the social justice stuff, that ideology that South America comes up with, you know, what's that called? The
liberation theology.
Yeah, that's all rooted in Marxism, you know?
Correct.
So,
yep, that's the infiltration. The Jesuits took that over to South America. They figured that they would be able to take half of the hemisphere with that theology, and now it's over here in the north half of the hemisphere as well, in our college universities.
Unfortunately, that's where our Holy Father was trained in, you know?
Yep, that was the milieu of his education. Mm-hmm. And again, you're a product of what you surround yourself with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Reuben, mm-hmm. also, God told St. Catherine of Siena, and there's a book called The Dialogue, and she's a doctor of the church, and God told her in this conversation, he told her, I am who am, you are she who is not. In other words, what God the Father told St. Catherine of Siena, he told her, I am God, and you're not, Catherine, you're not. And I mean, but it takes humility, Reuben. It takes humility to process that. And like the prophet Jeremiah says in 29:13, he says, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Mm-hmm. And the problem is too many people are seeking the things of the world. And this is the reason why their heart is hardened and can't even process the things of God.
That's right. So who you associate with, who you surround yourself with, it's going to have an effect on you. And so get with good people, people that, you know, that know their faith, that are practicing their faith, and they're not preaching error. They're following the tenets of the faith and the perennial teachings of the faith. Be a rosary warrior, man. We got to be praying that rosary day and night. So.
Amen. Rosary every day, no excuses. And I would also say divine mercy every day. We got to be blasting those two prayers projecting those prayers into the air every single day. This is war. You've been listening to Jesus 911, Reuben and Jess. Up next, the big guy, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. We'll see you next time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith. Viva Cristo Rey. And tune in to the big guy, Gary Machuda.
Amen. We'll see you. We're 10-7.
We're 10-7. Out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.